Okay, this week's Parsha Vayechi, the end of our Bresha, Sefer Bresha, which is a very exciting time, Sefer Bresha, and we're going on to Sefer Shmos, which is also very exciting, coming up around the corner. But I want to discuss with you a little bit about something that came up in this week's Parsha, really two horrors I want to share with you. And I want to thank Ira Steinberg for speaking yesterday so beautifully and inspiring me for this following point and question. About what? Oh, I'll get there. Remember Charlie. I remember you, Charlie. We'll get there. But focus. Focus, though. I need to focus right now.
And Levion.
Yeah, that's where we'll get into that soon. Ira made a point. He made a passing statement that I spoke to Ira actually about yesterday. I was trying to remember what I was inspired by that he said, and we spoke it out, and I remember what it was afterwards, is that Yosef's brothers, when they came back from the burial, they were terrified Yosef would take revenge on them now. And they say to him, oh, Dad wants to tell you before he died. First of all, I don't even know if Yaakov even knew about what happened. It's a whole discussion. Did Yaakov even knew what happened in the first place? Did he know the brothers sold him? It doesn't say anywhere he does. He says things in his bracha that imply it, but his bracha is Ruach HaKodesh. Did Yaakov ever knew? There's a big machlokes among the commentaries. Did Yaakov even ever know that he was sold, which is a tremendous. Can you imagine that he never knew what took place? And I heard an unbelievable thing, by the way, that Yaakov had to send for Yosef because Yosef never wanted to live near Yaakov. If you live near Yaakov, one day Yaakov might ask him, how'd you get here? And he spent his whole life avoiding this personal attention because it could have led to that uncomfortable discussion to be had, which is unbelievable serious matter that Yosef actually had. But that being said, once they go up and they bury Yaakov, so now, Vayiru, to quote the Pasuk, Ari, quote yesterday, Perek, Nun, Pasuk, Tazvav, Vayiru Acha Yosef, Ki Meis Aviem, Vayiru Lu Yistamini Yosef, Shev Yashiv Lanu es kol ra shir gabanu so. And they told Yosef, listen, Avicha Tzival, if they most holy more, Dad said, we should tell you, don't do bad to us. Made the whole thing up, obviously. We don't know if he knew about it, he definitely didn't say that, that's for sure. What just changed? Why would they think Yosef would now take revenge? Because he's been waiting for the last 17 years just for the moment in time. What? That's something Esav might do. Esav might wait for the dad to die and then take vengeance. But Yosef's a tzaddik. They've watched him care for them 17 years already. All of a sudden, he flips the switch and then he's back to the evil Yosef they knew back when he was 17 years old. He gets no more credit than that. Doesn't he get some credit? Like, he's grown, he's matured, he's a different guy. Why would they even think he would do that? So that question, when I was listening to Iris speak, that question bothered me. But I thought you could answer it the following way. Sometimes in life, when a door is closed, the next one doesn't open right away. You're stuck. You're stuck in it. Yosef was completely okay with what happened. You know, people who have, in life, you have disagreements in life, you have machloksim in life, but then someone dies, God forbid, and then you can never, like, resolve it, and all the pain comes back again. There are times in life when a door closes, and it's over. There's nothing to do anymore. You can't speak to the person anymore. You can't apologize. You can't laugh. You can't cry. It's over. And when that ends, a lot of emotions come rushing forth. And among us would be like, my gosh, I barely had time with my dad. And it's your fault. And the brothers were worried that the psychological phenomenon of a person realizing that I lost time with this person who died because of you, they would revisit the discussion, the conversation, and he would lash out at them. That was their fear. And it's a very normal fear to have. Because the moment the time is up, whatever you lost is over. Now, he didn't feel that way, because Yosef, as we mentioned, as Ira pointed out before, Yosef saw a much bigger picture. But the brothers weren't wrong to be afraid of that. That was a real fear, and an appropriate fear to have. There's an idea, it's brought down in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, actually, in Parsha Bereishis. It's brought down, it says, when the sixth day of creation was finished, it says, Hashem saw everything, and it was Tov Me'od. V'yara Elokim kol asher asah, v'hine Tov Me'od. Say that the Medrash says over there, what does Tov Me'od mean? It says, Tov Mavis. Death is good. Many people discuss, what does it mean? Why is death good? Why would death be a good thing? Sounds like death should be a bad thing. Why are we celebrating death? And the answer is that when things end, then you stop taking things for granted. When a person realizes there's death in the world, then life is important. If people never died, then you wouldn't care about life. Life would just be like this long and never-ending existence. And you wouldn't put effort into it. Like, lahavdil, imagine when you were back in high school, I don't know what kind of papers you have, but in college, what works in college, is you have a paper given to you like for like 3 months from now. Do it 3 months from now. I didn't look at it until 2 nights before it was due. Why? Because it's not due for a very long time. And you just forget about it. You just kind of push it off. When you don't think about death, then you push off life. Doesn't mean you don't have fun. It means you push off what the point of life is. I was listening to a sikha given by Charlie Harari. He told her this unbelievable story. There was a woman who got into a fight with her husband. It was during 9/11 that time. Her husband was in 9/11. He was in the building when it collapsed, and they had a fight that morning, and the plane hits the building, and he's got 20 seconds left to live, not to die, but to live. So what does he do? So he calls his wife on the phone. She didn't answer. He left her a voice note, like, you know, I want to apologize. I want to apologize for anything I ever did, you know, to anger you. You know, but the best thing I ever did in my life was to marry you. And that was it. That was his last thing. And he said, why do we wait until you're about to die to make that phone call? Why don't we call our wives, our parents, our siblings, our friends all the time? I value you so much. You're so great. I care about you so much. Why don't we do that? Because we don't live our lives until we understand it's about to end. Because we have forever to do that. So I'm not living because I have forever to do that. I'll mess around like I'm an animal. Like I'm just a waste of space. I'll sleep hours upon hours for no reason. Because why not? If this was your last day in the world, you think you'd sleep through? Take an extra long nap today? I'm tired? You would live if it was no more life. Why would you live when you know you're going to die? Because that's what brings life to the world. Death gives you life. It makes you realize that life has value to it. We're now 18 or 19 years old, and life is, we feel like we're invincible. Thank God. Thank God we look at our lives about to end right now. Thank God. Great-grandparents pass away. Grandparents, not people like us. So you don't live your life for that reason. You don't live a life. You waste time. You only live when you start to recognize that it's about to run out. Death was the greatest gift God gave the world. Because it made all of us realize that there is a deadline. And it's coming up, I don't know when even. It's a pop quiz. Come any point I would come up. So I want to live. It's the greatest gift. And that's what the brothers were worried about. The death of their father would have sparked that thought in Yosef. I lost my life because of you. And not, he wasn't doing anything bad right now, but it starts to trigger thought. Death triggers thought. The loss of opportunity triggers thought. And that is the thought right now in Yaakov's mind, in Yosef's mind potentially. We're told in we say this every single day for the month of Elul through till after Nir Shmini Atzeres time. We daven Kadosh Baruch Hu for having a gift. We say, you know, Achash Alti B'Hashem Osa. I ask for one thing, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shifti Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayei. Let me dwell in your house. Lachz Vno Hashem Ulevakir Beheichlam. Let me visit. Let me dwell. Let me visit. Well, one second. You know, you're dwelling at home. You're not visiting home. You live at home. You visit, your alumni are coming soon to visit yeshiva. You're living in yeshiva. How can you be dwelling and visiting at the same exact time? It makes no sense at all. So Soloveitchik has the following idea. He says, I'm asking you, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I want to be there all the time. I want to dwell there. But I don't want to get used to it. I don't want it to feel like I've been there, done that already. Another day, back to the grind, same schedule, morning Seder, chakras, morning Seder. Lunch, afternoon Seder, 6:10 Shir, dinner, Mariv, Musar. Okay, I do this every day. Like I know, I already know. It's like I'm just tired of it. We daven the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Let me be mevakir. I want to feel like a mevaker, like a guest. I want to feel like I'm just visiting for the first time. I want to feel like Torah is given to me for the first time right now. The first day you guys, the first day you got here, everyone's like, ooh. Sit down, let's learn. First day, right? Oh, no phones in the basement. Okay, I'll keep that rule. It's a good rule. I like that rule. First day. Everyone's here. First day. Got notebooks, got pens, pencils. First day. 3 days later, you know what's in my Gemara? I can't, you know, pens? What are those? What's a pen? I have a phone. What's a pen? write things down? Like, who does that even? What happens? What happens? Is that we're dwelling here now. We're living here. We're not visiting anymore. And when I live somewhere, I forget. I forget what I'm doing. I just get caught in a system, and it spits me out every day. Same thing. We pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to live a life. I want to be alive. I don't want to waste my time with such narshkai, such silly things, or even nothing at all, just passing time, killing time. Killing time. Because until people die, we don't understand what it means to live. So we ask, we should visit. You're going to see the next few weeks, alumni are going to come back and visit. And come back and visit during their spring break, during their winter break. It's much nicer weather in Florida. Much nicer weather. What are they doing? They already were Yotze. I remember when I was shut off, I'm like, why would you ever come back Shanabet? Like, you did it. You survived. Go somewhere fast before you have to do this again. Like, you did it. You made it through. I don't know how you did it even until I started living. And I'm like, how do I ever leave? How do I ever leave here? Where am I going to go? I'm going to live over there? What's my living going to be? I'm going to invest money in a stock and hope it goes up. That's my living? That's my life? I'm going on a vacation. Vacation from what? What am I vacating from? Not from life. This is life. Life is about serving God. It's all that life is. Just that. This is living. They want to come back and they want to taste it one more time. They want to taste it. Because they spent the last X amount of months, what you're waiting to do, which is go to college, they were begging to come back. Give me life again. Let me feel like I'm a vakir behechalo. I want to go and visit. I want to be a visitor. Where I'm so happy to be part of what you give me. You go to your parents' house. You don't sit there and help them with their and when the meal's over, maybe you do, actually. I didn't clear their table. I live here. My parents clean the table. My uncle clean the table. My sister maybe. I don't do that. I live here. I go to my friend's house. Mrs. Cole, can I take in the pitcher of water for you, please? Can I help you clean the table? What a nice boy you are. It's so nice of you. Oh, thank you. I was raised well. My own home, put my feet on the couch. I'm not doing this. So we have cleaning help for in the house. Or mom. So moms do. Not me. I'm 16 years old. I'm the peak of my career. I don't know what career it is, but the peak of my career. I don't do these things. To go back and to be alive. To be living. That's what we beg for. I'm terrible at the timing part, I know. We finish up right now. When the Medrash brings down, when the brothers buried Yaakov, so Esav got in the way. Famous Medrash. Esav would not let them bury Yaakov. And he says, prove to me this is yours. It's also mine. I also have a part in Maras Machpelah. Our father, show me it's yours. Now, he had a deed. He had a deed that it was his. But they didn't bring it with them. They left it in the shrine. So there was one guy, it's a Jewish flash. Naphtali was his name. They sent him back. He's like a deer. He's swift like a deer. He sent him back to Mitzrayim to grab the deed, run back again with the deed in hand. But while they're waiting, everyone's like kind of milling around. Yaakov's body sitting there waiting to be buried in Maras Machpelah. There's one guy. His name is Chushim ben Dan. Dan had one son, at least they record in the Torah, named Chushim. Chush means, you know what Chush means? What's Chush mean? No, that's Kush. What does Chush mean with a ches? It means senses, a sense of sight, smell. He was called Chushim, ironically, he was blind, ironically. He couldn't see what was happening. They called him Chushim. What's going on here? And he goes and he grabs like a spear or some bat, and he's deaf, and he bashed the guy, he clapped the guy's head off. Esav Harash, he lopped his head off. What happened to everyone else? Why did everyone else lop his head off? Why did anyone stop? He wasn't the strongest one. Shimon Levi with his warriors. Yehuda was a warrior. Chushim ben Dan was a I don't know what the word is, special needs. He's handicapped. He couldn't function properly. He's the one who took care of it. He was deaf. He couldn't hear what was going on. So you know what Chaim says? Because he couldn't hear the conversation going on around him. Everyone's like, oh, where's the deed? Well, we don't have it. Everyone's listening to it. They're all like getting used to the idea of it. We have to find the deed right now. But Chushim couldn't hear. Something he saw was inappropriate to do. And he just went boom and chopped his head off. He didn't want to be part of it. He didn't want to hear any part of it. Chaim Kotev says he didn't adjust. It's called histaglut. He never adjusted to what's going on around him. The ability to adjust is a blessing and it's a curse. It's a blessing because I can adjust myself to becoming better. I can grow and develop. I can get stamina. I can learn more. I can understand. It's a blessing. And it's a curse. Because when you came here day one, you all came with like the thought of like, let me see what I can do over here. I hope. Let me see where this takes me. Let me take it seriously. And then, you know, time passes. I always tell, you know, people when I do Israel nights, I hope you guys heard me say this as well, this is not a yeshiva for people who want to start Hanukkah time. So there's other places to go there. From day one to develop. At your own pace, from day one you develop. Hanukkah time, go somewhere else. Hanukkah is over. The time I always describe, the time to start, that already passed right now. If you're not here with us at davening every single day, at Seder every single day, working on becoming a better person because you came to live, for maybe the first time in your life to actually live what it means to be born as a Jew. Not to walk around like just a regular average Joe, but to understand that you are nobility. You're a prince. You come from royalty, Adam, Avitz of Yaakov, royalty. God chose a nation, B'nei B'chor Yisrael, that's his parsha, we're going to say that's his parsha. To live, not as a regular guy, something special. But instead, get used to it. Another day, back to the grind, going through the motions again. And you just, you know, waiting for it to end. But I can promise you one thing. When it's over, you're going to look back at it and either be really proud of yourself because you adapted in the right way and be shocked at what you've accomplished. Or, what the brothers are worried about, you look back and be like, what in the world happened? Where'd it go? It's past Hanukkah. Where'd it go? We're still going to Seder and schmoozing about football games? I understand it's playoff season now for the Fantasy League, but that's really what we're holding right now? We're still trying to accomplish games on our phone? What we have in front of us, gold, diamonds? What is wrong with us? Where are we? This is where you're in America. That's what you came to here to do something differently for. Le'Veon Bell sat out the year. This year, he sat out the year. Why? Because, you know, this body is very important to take care of. And a one-year contract? No, thank you. How much would you have made if he was in one? How much would you have made?
$16
million. Not worth it. Not worth it for me. This body, I got to keep it in tip-top shape. I get a bigger contract with more money, more years. It's not for me. They just shut down Cam Newton for the year. But not Aaron Rodgers. He did not want to stop. The playoffs were over. He's injured. He's always injured. He's always hurt. He's spreading through injuries. He did not want to stop playing. He's playing with the Jets, he announced, on Sunday. Why? He says, because I'm a leader of this team. I'm not going to just show up when my body feels like it. If I'm on this team, then I'm there every single game, whether I'm 100% or not. I'm not going to rest up my body for the next contract that might come my way. Don't believe in that. All I have is what I have right now. I give you everything that I've got. The goal of right now is to give everything that you've got. It's after Hanukkah. Those times are over. This is the biggest man of the year. And you're right now in the guts of it. I can promise you will look back at the year and either have tremendous regrets or tremendous pride. But picture it ended right now. Today's the last day. Death. We have death to our year. It's over. What's your reaction? Pride? Or like, gosh, I can't believe this is all I did. If it's pride, then kol hakavod, you're doing great. Keep it up. Live every day like that. This could be the last one I have. Death is the biggest gift God gave us for that reason. Because it makes you live your life. 20 seconds, you lived for real for 20 seconds when you were afraid to say those words that you should have said all along. You lived for real for 20 seconds. But if you look back and you'd be like, what have I done? What have we done? Then you wasted the opportunity to, for the first time in your life, to taste what it means to live like a full-fledged Jew. No culture on my mind. I'm not looking to be with a girl right now. I'm not trying to go to a party right now. I just want to connect to the Creator who created me. That's all I want. For once in my life, I want to find it for a period of time and then leave when it's over and say, what do I, now what? Now what? Okay, I feel connecting. What now? What do I do? But for you to go through an experience and not get to that stage in time, Le'Veon Bell, save yourself for it. Save yourself. I'm not in right now. It's got better offers on the table. No one right now appreciates that attitude. Not his teammates in the Steelers. This is your job. You're supposed to be playing. That's what you're here for. They have a contract with them. You're supposed to be signing that contract, or at least. It rubs everyone the wrong way. Aaron Rodgers just wants to help his teammates. Whatever I got, I'm giving whatever I got in the end. I don't get toast toast. Okay, but you know, whatever you can do, do it. Rash is hard. You know, whatever you do, do it. You're 80%, then you're 40%, then you're 20%. You want to shut down for the season? You want to become more? You want to build up strength? You want to get better? You want to get everything that you got? The brothers knew Yosef might turn on them because they understood what it means to have a door closed and look back and understand just how much is over. You're in the middle of a year that might be one of the most important years of your entire life. And I'm not under-exaggerating when I say that. Because the girl that you marry will change based on what you do right now. Because the profession that you go in, how you run your Shabbos table might change based on what you do right now. And to pass it up or to waste it because there's a cool game on your phone or a ridiculous football game going on around you that might mean the difference in you winning $50 or not is a terrible decision to make. Terrible. And you can't get it back afterwards. Whether you know it or not, it ends. You know it ends. It's going to end. I give you a bracha. You should have the ability to look back, to be able to be shifty based Hashem, to dwell. But feel like you're mevaker. Feel like you're a guest here. You feel uncomfortable still because I'm not sitting down. I'm not. It could last. I mean, so long. Maybe only for a day. I don't know what's. So you sit and you give everything you got. You play through whatever injury, cold, boo boo, you have on your finger. Give me a break. How old are we? How old are we? It's time to strengthen ourselves, strengthen each other. Find a buddy to strengthen with. Find a minion buddy. Find a Seder buddy. Make demands of each other. Push each other. Become great. Shvizocha to be great. Have a great Shabbos. Mincha will be at 2:45. 2:45.